Midtown Manhattan, February 2013. A spindly man in a checkered shirt peeks out from stage left into the Hammerstein Ballroom. He sees a sea of faces lit up by a light show of electric blue laser beams. There are more than 2,000 people in the ballroom. They're all waiting. Waiting for him. The man is Mark Cerny, and the future of PlayStation rests on his shoulders. He's the lead architect of the PlayStation 4, the game console he's about to announce to the audience of reporters and bigwigs Sony's invited to the ballroom. The latest round in the console wars is already underway. In late 2012, Nintendo fired the opening salvo by launching the Wii U, a souped-up Wii with a touchscreen gamepad. It's a bust. The Wii U's selling poorly, and game companies are already abandoning work on games for Nintendo's new console. So, as Nintendo burns, Sony strikes. Moving from PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3 was disastrous for Sony. Won over by the Xbox 360 and the Wii, gamers switched loyalties, slashing Sony's market share in half. Now, Sony wants to win back the tens of millions of gamers who abandoned the PlayStation after it charged too much for less appealing games. Cerny strides on stage in a blaze of white lights and addresses the audience. "We've listened to the players. We've listened to the game developers. And that's why the PlayStation 4 is all about the games. The PlayStation 4 is for the players." Cerny's message is laser-focused. Sony hyped its previous console, the PlayStation 3, as an all-in-one home entertainment device. But it won't make that mistake again. The PlayStation 4 can work as your Blu-ray and Netflix player, but Sony's playing that way down. Tonight, it's showing off the PlayStation 4 as an exceptional games machine. To underline that message, Cerny highlights features aimed squarely at gamers. Features like an online gaming service that gives subscribers free games every month, and the ability to share footage of your game experiences on social media at the press of a button. "It's all about the games. PlayStation 4 is for the players, and it will go on sale in November." With PlayStation firmly back in the ring, it's Microsoft's turn to pack the next punch by unveiling the next Xbox. But Microsoft's gone further than just looking to trump PlayStation. It's built a device with the power to disrupt the world's living rooms. From Wondery, I'm David Brown. This is Business Wars. You're listening to the final episode in our three-part series, Xbox versus PlayStation. Tear down this wall. Redmond, Washington, Microsoft headquarters, May 2013. As rain lashes down, a convoy of buses turns off the highway and onto the Microsoft campus. On board the buses are the cream of the crop of the world's gaming and technology media. Microsoft's brought them here for the world premiere of the new Xbox, the Xbox One. The convoy stops near a huge, cavernous black marquee tent in the middle of the campus. The buses open their doors and journalists pour out. They dash around and through puddles, rushing into the tent to escape the downpour. Inside the tent is a large hall filled with chairs. At the far end is a stage backed by a large wall of screens illuminated in neon Xbox green. After the media pack is settled, Xbox chief Don Matrick bounces onto the stage, smiling. The floppy-fringed Canadian executive is excited. This moment has been 2 years in the making. he's about to announce what he believes will be an entertainment revolution, not only to the journalists waiting for his announcement, but also to millions of gamers watching online.
Today, we introduce you to a new living room where all your entertainment comes alive in one place. At Xbox, we've been asking ourselves, how can we improve a living room experience that's become too complex and fragmented?
Microsoft's answer is the Xbox One. Matrick doesn't call it a games console. He calls it an all-in-one entertainment system.
The Xbox One will play games, movies, and music, make Skype calls, and browse the web. It will also reinvent television.
The Xbox team's been thinking a lot about TV. It's noticed that Xbox owners spend three times as much time watching TV as playing games on Xbox Live. So now, it wants people to plug their cable and satellite boxes right into the Xbox One. In return, Microsoft's promising a new way to experience TV.
With Xbox One, you can play a game while watching a movie in the corner of the screen. You could watch a live football game and see how each touchdown affects your fantasy football team in a side window. You'll also be able to find TV shows by voice command because every Xbox One comes with Kinect.
Ah, yes, Kinect. Microsoft's answer to the Wii. The hands-free controller is integral to the Xbox One experience. Kinect's also had an upgrade with cameras so powerful they monitor your heartbeat and detect your mood from changes in skin pigmentation. It can even see you in the dark. The final surprise is that Microsoft is going to link the games players buy in stores to their Xbox Live online accounts. Microsoft paints this as a way to let people access their games on any Xbox One just by logging into their account. No game disc required. Yet, for many of those watching Matrick's announcement online, this is anything but good news. You see, millions of people fund their gaming fix by selling their old games discs. Enough people to make the trade in used games a $2 billion a year business. But if the games people buy are tied to individual Xbox Live accounts, they won't be able to sell them. What Microsoft's proposing threatens to kill the secondhand games market. And that's not the only beef gamers have with the Xbox One announcement. They're unimpressed by Microsoft's focus on TV instead of games. They're also uneasy about Kinect being compulsory for all Xbox One owners. Many are uncomfortable with the idea of putting Kinect in their living rooms, where it will always be watching and listening. It sounds like something from George Orwell's 1984. Within a few hours of Matrick walking on stage, it's clear that the Xbox One's carefully staged reveal has gone very wrong. With online gaming forums filled with Xbox fans threatening to defect to PlayStation, Microsoft knows it's got to act fast to win them back before its new console arrives in stores. It's June 2013, and the Xbox team is in Los Angeles for the annual E3 Games Expo. With the Xbox One backlash growing, they're hoping to use the event to get gamers back on their side by showing off some great games. The man that job falls to is Phil Spencer, head of Microsoft's game studios. He's come armed with plenty of Xbox One games to show the crowd gathered for Xbox's media event. Among them, a glimpse of the new Halo game, and Titanfall, a new Xbox-only game where giant robots clash in futuristic space colonies. But before he can show these games, he's got to break some bad news. He tries to play it cool.
I am proud to announce that the Xbox One will launch this November at $499.
There's silence. Usually, rollout announcements are greeted at E3 by rapturous applause. Spencer bites his bottom lip. After what feels like an eternity to Spencer, there's a ripple of polite clapping. Everyone in the room is thinking the same thing. Microsoft just made the same mistake Sony did by charging too much for PlayStation 3. A couple of hours later, Sony buries the knife in Microsoft by announcing PlayStation 4 will be $100 cheaper than an Xbox One. Sony also confirms that PlayStation 4 owners will be able to trade in their used games. The Microsoft team leaves E3 knowing the Xbox One is in trouble. Shortly after returning to Redmond, they ditch the plan to stop the trade in secondhand games. They also alter the Xbox One so that it will work even if Kinect isn't plugged in. But it's too little, too late. When Sony and Microsoft's new consoles arrive in stores that November, the PlayStation 4 sells twice as well as the Xbox One. It's a bad start for the system that was supposed to transform home entertainment, and it's come at a bad time. Microsoft's already under pressure from shareholders due to poor sales of its Surface tablets and Windows phones, and now its only successful consumer electronics product is struggling. Redmond, Washington, March 2014. The elevator doors open, and Xbox Game Studios head Phil Spencer steps out onto the fifth floor of Microsoft Building 34. He heads down the corridor towards the door of a corner office. The nameplate on the door reads, Satya Nadella, Chief Executive Officer. Nadella is Microsoft's new leader, a skinny man with a shaved head and a love of cricket that he developed as a child in India. Spencer knocks on the door.
Come in.
Spencer walks in. Nadella's sitting in a turquoise armchair. Behind him, a huge 84-inch Microsoft Surface touchscreen hangs on the wall, displaying a view of a snow-capped mountain range.
Ah, Phil, good to see you. Please, take a seat.
After Spencer sits down, Nadella gets straight to the point.
Phil, I want your advice. What do we need to do to get the Xbox One back on track?
Well, I think we need to reconnect with gamers. If I'm being honest, I think we lost sight of that with the wider ambitions we had for the Xbox One. We took our core audience for granted. We need to get back to Xbox being about video games.
I'm glad you think that, because I agree. And that's why I invited you here. I want you to be the new boss of Xbox.
Why? I'd love to do it.
Is there anything you wanted Xbox to do before that you couldn't?
Spencer mulls over the question. He's got a big and very expensive idea, one that got vetoed more than a year ago.
Well, one thing does come to mind. You know Mojang, the makers of Minecraft? I want to buy them and use Minecraft. Yes, I know, it seems like a blocky, rudimentary game. But this thing is going to blow a big hole through the console business, and we can exploit it.
Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery Show American Scandal. Our newest series looks at a government lab that ignited a fierce debate about the war on drugs. With accusations of large-scale fraud, the lab would cause thousands of convictions to be overturned. Listen now to American Scandal, or listen early and ad-free in the Wondery app.
I'm Marissa Jones, host of The Vanished from Wondery. Each week on The Vanished, we take you beyond the headlines and explore a different missing person's story. This week, we're digging into the disappearance of Shelton Sanders from Columbia, South Carolina. 25-year-old Shelton had everything going for him. He had big career aspirations and the talent to match. Shelton was about to graduate from college, and he was going to be the best man in his friend's summer wedding. On June 19, 2001, Shelton was scoping out hotels in Columbia for his friend's bachelor party. But then it was like Shelton and his car vanished into thin air. Everyone thought maybe he was in an accident driving home. But nearly 2 years later, the case took a shocking turn when Shelton's car was recovered and someone close to him was charged with his murder. Many people thought that this meant case closed, but was it? Tune in to hear Shelton's story and many more. Subscribe to The Vanished on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or ad-free on Wondery Plus.
It's April 2014, and Xbox's new boss, Phil Spencer, is about to make his first big decision.
He's called his executive team to the three-story glass building Xbox calls home on the Microsoft campus. He waits for the team to settle into their chairs and plant their Surface tablets on the table, and then starts the meeting.
We need to talk about Kinect.
The team's not surprised. The future of Kinect's been a hot topic within Xbox for months. Some see Kinect as crucial to the Xbox One. Others regard it as a millstone around the Xbox One's neck. Spencer wants to settle the question of what to do about Kinect today.
I think we need to start selling the Xbox One without Kinect. If we stick to selling Xbox One with Kinect, we'll never be able to match the PlayStation 4 on price. Sony's always going to have the price advantage.
Yusuf Mehdi is the Xbox vice president responsible for Kinect. He knows what Spencer's suggesting is right. But as the guy in charge of Kinect, he feels he's got to defend the device.
Hold on. Kinect's core to the Xbox One experience. We designed the console around it. If we sell Xbox Ones without Kinect, developers will stop supporting Kinect. We're digging Kinect's grave here.
I get that. But many gamers don't want Kinect, so why are we forcing them to buy it?
The room goes quiet. They know it's the right call, but they also know that this is the moment the original Xbox One vision dies. The dream of reinventing the world's living room is over. 2 months later, the Xbox One without Kinect arrives in stores. It costs $399, exactly the same price as a PlayStation 4. Gamers react instantly, and Xbox One sales double. That's not enough to stop Sony's momentum, but it's just the confidence boost the team and brand need. But dropping Kinect is only the first step in Spencer's shakeup. His next move is one that few people expect. Stockholm, Sweden, June 2014. Marcus Persson should be feeling on top of the world. 5 years ago, this burly, bearded programmer quit his day job and co-founded a small game studio called Mojang. Back then, he was just another game developer trying to escape the corporate world and make his own game. Persson's dream game was a kind of virtual Lego set rendered in chunky graphics reminiscent of 80s video games. He called it Minecraft. To his, and pretty much everyone's surprise, Minecraft becomes the biggest game on the planet. Now, Persson's a multimillionaire living in a Stockholm penthouse. He has tens of millions of fans, and everywhere he goes, people recognize him. But he hates it. The fame, the fortune, the pressure. It's all taking its toll. He just wants to go back to being a nerdy programmer, indulging his love of computer code. So today, he's launching the escape pod. He picks up his phone and calls Phil Spencer.
Marcus! Marcus, how are you doing? What can I do for you?
I'm done. I want out. You still interested in buying Mojang?
That September, Microsoft pays $2.5 billion to acquire Mojang. It's a deal that signals that under the new leadership of Spencer and Nadella, Microsoft's thinking differently about games. Minecraft won't be an Xbox exclusive, quite the opposite. Microsoft's going to continue bringing Minecraft to its rivals' consoles, including the PlayStation 4. And that's because what Microsoft really wants to do is bring the 100 million people who play Minecraft into its own orbit. You see, Nadella is imagining a future where the company's products and services aren't tied to any single device, but instead run through its cloud computing service. The more people Microsoft brings onto its platforms and services, the more successful that strategy is going to be. In the years that follow, the Xbox team applies this strategy more and more as they attempt to win back support from gamers. They introduce a scheme that lets buyers of certain Xbox One games download the Windows PC version of the same game for free. Microsoft also starts a project to make hundreds of Xbox 360 games work on the Xbox One. And for the first time since launching the Xbox One, Microsoft has hit on a plan of attack that will back Sony into a corner. It's June 2018, and the world's hooked on the battle royale game Fortnite. It's the creation of a North Carolina game studio called Epic Games, and with more than 120 million players, it's a pop culture sensation. A cartoonish game where 100 players battle each other to become the last one standing. Fortnite's on smartphones, on PCs, on tablets, and on game consoles. There are PC owners laying traps for PlayStation 4 fans, PlayStation 4 players firing bazookas at Samsung Galaxy owners, and iPad addicts building defenses against Xbox One gamers. Gamers call this ability to play with people on rival gaming devices crossplay. But PlayStation 4 and Xbox One owners aren't getting to play Fortnite together. It's always been that way. Console manufacturers go to great lengths to get players to buy their machines and have long opposed any suggestion that they should open up their customer bases to each other. But now, Microsoft wants that artificial wall between PlayStation owners and Xbox owners torn down. On the Xbox website, Microsoft's just published the gaming equivalent of President Ronald Reagan's "Tear Down This Wall" speech. It's done the unthinkable. Microsoft's declared that it will work with rival console makers, Sony and Nintendo, to allow cross-play and invited them to help make it happen. It's a crafty move. It puts Microsoft on the side of gamers and undermines Sony's "for the players" message. Crossplay also fits neatly into Microsoft's wider strategy of connecting its products and services with customers regardless of what device they're using. Also, with 80 million PlayStation 4 owners compared to fewer than 40 million Xbox One owners, Microsoft's got more to gain from allowing crossplay than Sony. Inevitably, Sony rejects Microsoft's crossplay overtures. But while Sony and Microsoft have been arguing over crossplay, Nintendo's been making a comeback. It's got a new console out called the Switch, a rule-breaking tablet and home console hybrid with detachable controllers. The Switch is barely a year old, but it's so popular it's rapidly catching up with the 4-year-old Xbox One. And now, Epic's just released Fortnite on the Switch. The arrival of the hottest game on the planet onto the hottest game console on the planet is a big deal. In just a few hours, more than 2 million people download Fortnite onto their Switch. But PlayStation 4 owners who've also bought a Switch are in for a shock. Sony's blocked them from using their Fortnite accounts on Nintendo's console. And with that, the cross-play battle goes supernova.
We've got some breaking news in the hugely profitable video gaming world. Sony stock is falling right now 1.33% after the parent of the PlayStation pretty much refusing at this hour to acknowledge it's got major cross-play problems with the hottest game on the planet right now, Fortnite.
Sony tries to dig its heels in, but finds itself haunted by demands for cross-play. At news events, journalists challenge PlayStation executives on the issue. Fortnite fans fill Sony's social media feeds with demands for change. Under pressure, Sony eventually caves. In September 2018, Sony tears down the wall. Finally, PlayStation 4 users can play Fortnite with pals who own an Xbox One or a Switch. Sony also says it will offer cross-play for other games. Sony's capitulation is more than a victory for Microsoft. Since the 1970s, the game console business model has rested on companies persuading people to buy their machine and then shutting out rivals from gaining access to those customers. It's the model Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo have followed throughout their 20 years of combat. Crossplay changes all that. The walls separating owners of rival consoles are falling down, leaving the established console business model in tatters. Sony and Microsoft are already preparing their next generation of consoles. Microsoft is exploring a turbocharged Xbox, which Sony would have to match. Or maybe not. Both Sony and Microsoft are looking at streaming games Netflix-style into our homes via the internet. And that could redefine the whole games business. From Wondery, this is Business Wars. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll find a link on the episode notes. Just tap or swipe over the cover art. You'll also see some offers from our sponsors. Please support our show by supporting them, won't you? And if you like what you've heard, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe too. Another way to support us is to answer a short survey at wondery.com/survey and tell us what Business War stories you'd like to hear. A quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer. Emily Frost is our editor, and Jenny Lauer is our producer. Sound designed by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.